It's a wonderful time to be here with you, and I get the privilege of sharing a two-week series focused on 40 days of formation, building holy habits in our lives. I have to ask this question, though. Can anyone remember what was the last message I preached in January of the second week? Pop quiz. Nobody. All right, let me give you a hint. Messiahs, at the Messiahs. That's correct. All right. So this, I hope when I come back next week and I ask, what was this message that I preached last week? You will remember what the message was, because it's 2 weeks of forming spiritual disciplines, building holy habits. We're going to take a look at a walk with Moses up the mountain, and we are also going to walk with Jesus in the wilderness next week as we look at two 40-day journeys of two hallmarks of our faith. And what can we learn from the one who was given the law, and what can we learn from the one who gave it all? We are going to be in the book of Exodus this morning, and I'm going to ask you to stand again for the reading of the word. Exodus 24, verse 17 to 19. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. You may be seated. Now, the mountaintop experience is a place where God reveals himself. And you hear the term a lot of the times, mountaintop seasons, and it relates to experiences of being on top. It also refers to times of being on a high. And that can sometimes be a spiritual high or just an emotional high. Mountain seasons are moments of revelation, responsibility, and covenant. They are high moments of faith. And I want to pray with us before we go any further. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are shaping us and forming us through your word. And as I declare your word this morning, I pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and may our minds and our hearts be transformed to go and do your will. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord God, our Redeemer, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Another quiz. Have you ever had a mountaintop experience? Thank you for answering. Time away at a Christian camp, time at a retreat, time at a revival meeting. And as teenagers, we would have lots of these moments going off to summer camp, like with the students. We would go to spiritual retreats and in a place where life revolves around worship with like-minded people. And even activities that are somewhat ordinary, because you're doing it with people of the same mindset, they feel kind of spiritual sometimes. Playing sports, doing crafts, even working on team projects. These experiences offer a sense of utopia when you're in that context. And the encounter kind of leaves you wanting more when you have to leave the campsite and go back to reality, back to chores, back to school, back to emails. Oh, sorry, when I was a teenager, we didn't have emails. Back to everyday life. Because of the mundane and routine, you long for the mountaintop experience. But I want you to hear this. Mountaintops are not destinations. They are training grounds. Mountaintops are not where we stay. They are where God shapes us. And those who grow with God are the ones who keep climbing the mountain. Mountaintop experiences are about revelation, responsibility, and covenant. And we will explore what that looks like in the life of Moses. And at the end of the message, we will all reflect on what that looks like in our lives. So, can anyone tell me what is the first 40-day experience recorded in Scripture? You said... She said Noah. Well, I have a gift card for the person, and I don't know, but she spoke up. I didn't tell her the answer either. She doesn't know what I'm preaching. So Noah and his family were on the ark where it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Genesis 7 verse 12 reads, "And rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights." But note that this first 40-day experience with Noah was not necessarily one of spiritual formation. This was not an experience where Noah kind of set out to go learn and grow in Christ. In this story, we see God revealing his judgment, Noah getting the responsibility of working and keeping what would be the new creation, and God's grace sustaining the faithful through a covenant promise. Now, biblical patterns of 40 indicates a time of testing, transition, and preparation before promise. And we see examples of that in the life of the Israelites. They wandered the desert for 40 years, being tested through a time of transition and prepared for covenant promise. The same is true in the life of Elijah, 40 days to Horeb. Moses, 40 days on Mount Sinai, which we're going to look at. And Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness. Now, the general principle is God uses dedicated time with him to forge us and prepare us for assignments. Shout out to the Forge Ministry. And I want us to think about this in rhythms. So the first rhythm that I want us to look at is the rhythm of revelation. Exodus 24 verse 1 to 2 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him.' Moses entered the cloud." Why? Because God gave him a special invite. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord." Many others could come partway, but Moses alone approached the Lord. Question for you. Do we still need a personal invitation to access God's presence? Not at all. 1 Timothy 2, 5 teaches us this. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus has made a way under the new covenant for us to have full access to God. So we who have belief in Jesus Christ, we don't need a special invitation. We have full access to Almighty God. We have full access to the Holy of Holies. We don't need a high priest because of the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Let's suppose God gave a personal invitation. And he said, "Tim," he said, "Audra, He said, Errol, Janelle, I want to come and meet you in your living room at 5 a.m. in the morning. Meet you in the quiet and stillness of time. Would you go? Very good response. Or would you hit snooze? Would you hit snooze on God? Moses did not hit snooze. Moses climbed the mountain. So I want to encourage us to take time to enter sacred moments. God is inviting us to develop holy habits by spending consistent time with Him. And this doesn't happen by accident. We don't fall into quality time with God. I don't just step off my bed and fall into a vacuum and I get quality time with God. It doesn't work that way. We build holy habits through purpose and effort. You don't drift into deep time with God. You design it, you schedule it, and you protect it. And there's one and only one who did this perfectly. Can anyone tell me who that was? That's correct. I don't have any more gift cards, by the way. And there's another biblical figure who exemplified that, and we've been learning about him. Can anyone tell me who that is? That's correct. Daniel 6:10 reads, "Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the window opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before." He prayed three times a day. Same time, same place, same posture. He didn't pray when it was convenient. His prayers were committed. Make it a habit to spend regular time with God. The psalmist documented his time with God. He said, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice." David did it in the morning. Daniel did it multiple times per day. And I want us to focus on being with God before we get things done. Let nothing or no one take the first moments of your day. Those moments are meant for God. And just like we talk about the first fruits, or time, we have first fruits with our time as well. You see, every morning we choose one of two options. We either drift into our day or we climb the mountain and meet with God. The reality is we choose the way of the world or we choose God's presence. And the time is coming when we will live off the dividends of the time we invest in God's presence. I want to give you two pointers about a way to get this done. The first one is have someone hold you accountable. Jody, hold me accountable for spending time with Christ. When someone is going to hold you accountable, it will encourage you to go and spend time with Christ. And the second is this, schedule it. If something is on my schedule, it's going to pop up and remind me that I need to do this. And it's likely that you complete this assignment 65 to 95% of the times if you have an accountability partner and it is scheduled. As intentional as scheduling time is, we also have to remove distractions. That's why early morning matters. Before the phone starts buzzing, before the house starts stirring, before we have to start getting the kids ready for school, before the boss starts demanding, personal time with God matters. I usually wake up around 5 a.m. I grab my coffee, my Bible, and I find my special chair in the garage that my wife has been trying to throw out for the last 10 years. And I bring with me a chair which I leave empty. And I just pretend as if I'm having a conversation with Jesus. I read the word, we talk, I drink my coffee, and we grow in those moments. So I encourage you, find a place, find a time, and just do it. Don't procrastinate. Just be still. Because I assure you, in those moments, I hear one voice. Before the birds start chirping, I hear the voice of my Savior. Make space in your life for God to reveal himself. God wants us to seek him before we seek direction. Nothing is more important than God's presence. Nothing in this world. Everything in this world is passing away. And one thing will remain: God's presence. He reveals himself in those moments. He gifts us responsibilities. And he renews his covenant with us daily. You know what? Moses was described by God in four ways. In Numbers 12, verse 7, God called Moses faithful. In Exodus 33, verse 11, he called him a friend. And in Numbers 12, verse 3, he called him humble. But you know which of these four stood out to me the most? God said of Moses in Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, I know him. What would it look like to be known by God? Not just called by God, not just used by God, but known by the Almighty, Most Holy One. These things were not developed by chance. It's because Moses spent time with him. You see, presence, being present in God's presence creates relationship. And relationship produces recognition. If someone were to look at your life and my life, would they say, you know about God? Or would they say, you walked with God? Not casual faith, cultivated presence. And Jesus put it this way. He said, seek first his kingdom, seek first his righteousness, and everything else will fall into place. Another brilliant scholar of the Bible put it this way: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. You see, Moses prioritized time in God's presence. He prioritized presence over productivity. And if anybody knows anything about me, I like to be productive. But I tell you this, make no mistake, productivity and God's presence are not the same thing. They are not equal. They are not juxtaposed positions. They are by no means the same thing. So I encourage us to seek God's presence over everything. I want to share with you the rhythm of intercession, because Moses wasn't just there to get the revelation. He also stepped up that mountain to intercede on behalf of the people. Deuteronomy 9 verse 18 reads, "Then once again I fell prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread, I drank no water, because of all the sin you had committed, doing what was evil in the Lord's sight, and so arousing his anger." Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Why? Because the people failed. They created a golden calf and worshipped it, and God was ready to destroy them. The same thing that happened with Noah, God was ready to do with Moses. "I am going to start over, Moses, with you." Moses was like, "God, I am going to sit in your presence and beg and plea and pray and fast for the deliverance of the people." Moses stood in the gap, returning to God when others failed. So, what would it look like in our lives to fast and pray when crisis comes? When our nation is in turmoil, what would it look like for us as a people to fast and pray for 40 days and 40 nights? Praying for people, not just plans. Because Jesus said it, you know. He said, "This kind can only come forth, or certain breakthroughs in our lives can only be overcome by fasting and prayer." I know what it's like to have someone interceding on my behalf. There was a season in my life when someone had to fast and pray for my calling to full-time ministry. Before I fully figured out or understood what that looked like, before I embraced it, someone was already climbing the mountain and praying for me. This person took a week off from work, camped out in our house, and prayed and fasted for 7 days. I didn't know what was going on, but God knew. I stand here today because someone climbed the mountain for me. And church, who are we climbing the mountain for? Some of the miracles in your lives, sitting in this room, are because people climbed the mountain for you and they fasted and prayed for you. So the question is, who are we climbing the mountain for? Now, we have a young man who is a part of our church who found himself on the wrong side of the law. Now, what would it look like for us as a church to fast and pray for him? Or are we just comfortable with going on with our comfortable lives as it is? Faith fact for you all. Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, not just once, not just twice, but 3 different times. First time, to receive the law. Second time, to intercede on behalf of the fallen people. And third time, to receive the renewed covenant. Exodus 34, 4 to 10. So Moses chiseled out 2 stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the 2 stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for their sin, for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sins and take us as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. Before all the people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. So after failure, Moses goes back up. After broken tablets, Moses goes back up. Moses goes back up the mountain, and God rewrites the covenant. You see, God restores what sin breaks. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, he restores what sin breaks. So I want to encourage us, keep climbing the mountain. Even after disappointment, even after death, even after disaster, after betrayal, brokenness, heartache, job loss, keep climbing the mountain. Moses broke the tablets, the people failed, but Moses kept climbing and climbing. And some of our most powerful encounters with God happen after failure, when we choose to keep climbing again. Moses teaches us to go regularly, intercede faithfully, and return consistently. But you see, Moses needed three times. But there's one and only one who needed only one time. And that's Jesus. Where Moses climbed, Jesus stood. Where Moses interceded, Jesus overcame. And where Moses reflected glory, Jesus revealed God's glory to us. So I ask, do you want mountaintop experiences? Well, we must build holy habits. Not emotional highs, holy habits. Not occasional prayer, consistent presence. I want you to ask yourself this question. Where is your mountain? Where is my sacred place? When are my scheduled times? And if you don't have answers to those questions, come talk to me after the service. But I want to encourage you. You can copy Daniel's model. Same time, same place, same faithfulness. The mountain is not where we live, but it is where we are formed. Moses kept climbing the mountain. Jesus went into the wilderness. And if you and I want to walk with God, we must build holy habits. We must keep climbing and climbing and climbing the mountain. Church, keep climbing the mountain. keep building those holy habits. God's presence is where we were meant to be, and we will only tabernacle there by building those holy habits. Let us pray. Everlasting God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. A space where believers can receive your revelation. A space where we can be gifted responsibilities. A space, God, where we can get to renew covenants daily with you. Lord, I thank you for your presence. I pray this morning that if there's anyone in the hearing of my voice that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would be reminded today that they can have access to your presence by trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ. So God, wherever they are along their path of faith, I ask that you would meet them where they are, and that you would draw them into your holy and awesome presence. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp to our path and a light to our way. Lead us, Almighty God, we pray. In the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.